And let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter number 81 in your Bibles today. Psalm chapter 81, and we're going to read this entire psalm in God's precious word this morning. Isn't God's word just a blessing? It's precious, and it's something you can always run to and go to, and God wants us to make it the source of our heart and our strength every day. And it is. Amen. We're going to read the entire psalm this morning, and I trust this morning you'll follow along in your Bible as we read today. Psalm 81, and let's begin with verse number 1. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel and the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for testimony. And he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways! I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the privilege to hear it and the privilege to teach it this morning. And truly, it is an honor. And Lord, as I reflect on my own call, I thank you that you've called me and counted me faithful to put me in the ministry. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you would take your word this morning. And we know it's the bread of life, and that that bread is satisfying to our souls. And so, Lord, I pray you would take it, and as we divide it out this morning, may it meet the need of each person here today. We don't know the burdens and the things that each one carries, but God, you do. And Lord, your word is powerful and mighty to meet all of those needs at the same time through thy word. So we ask your grace and your strength this morning as we open the Bible. Teach us thy word again. At this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what a great psalm we've read this morning. It is it is written to the chief musician upon Gittith. If you have that heading at the top of your chapter there, you see those words, to the chief musician upon Gittith. And the Gittith, from what I understand, it is a type of an instrument that was used. It was, again, of course, written by Asaph. Now, very interesting to note that as you walk through the Psalms, we see there was an Asaph at David's time. But then there's obviously another Asaph later on who wrote, because Asaph lived during the time of David and Solomon. And then many hundreds of years later, the children of Israel had more, many, many kings. They went into bondage. Then you remember the Babylonian captivity. 70 years later, we come back, and And we see that there is this Asaph talking again about things that have happened. And particularly chapter, I believe it is 79. Yeah, chapter 79, that refers back to a lot of the things that the children of Israel had gone through in the captivity. And so what I believe that we're seeing some is a descendant of Asaph, or musicians that have followed the history of Asaph as they have followed the Lord in music, in singing to the Lord and in the temple. Now, I like music, don't you? I enjoy music. I don't think there's anything wrong with musical instruments. Musical instruments are good. There are some musical instruments that were made especially to go along with a beat, to accentuate a beat. And I would say that today, in our day's society, many of them are used in the wrong way to create a beat that is really not good, a beat that affects the flesh rather than the soul and the spirit. Boy, all you got to do to see that beat is just walk through Walmart sometime and hear the beat of that music going on, and you can tell that it doesn't just move our spirit, it moves our flesh and our body. And that's when musical instruments can be used in the wrong way. You know, God blesses us with many things. They can be used for the right things or they can be used for the wrong things. And God wants us to use them for the right things, to please God and honor Him. And so we're seeing here in this passage, Psalm 81, it begins with this praise of God in music. So let's look here. Let's introduce the chapter here. This psalm is a powerful message to those who choose to brood over their sorrows. You know, we have to do something with our sorrows. We have to do something with our sorrows. We cannot just allow them to be brooding places in our life. Do you know that? You say, preacher, do you ever have any sorrows or difficulties? Sure. Sure, I do. We all have our difficulties to one degree or another. We all have one. We all have heartaches. We all have burdens. We all have things in our life that we wish we didn't have. But may I tell you, the psalm in this passage of Scripture is a rejection of brooding over those sorrows that we face in life. It's to reject that, to say, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to worry about my sorrows, because all that does is it leaves us disheartened and it keeps us in a distance from God and the relationship with God that we should be having. Amen? Now, that does not mean that we don't have sorrows, you know. There are people I've known with joy and happiness in their heart who had more sorrows than I do. You say, how did they get along? How did they make it? They've learned what to do with sorrows, and they have learned that they cannot take them and brood over them. They have to do something with them. And Psalm 81 gives us some answers on what to do with a lot of our sorrows. And one of them is music. Music is a remedy. You catch that? Music is a remedy. When you're down and disheartened, music's a remedy. Now, I find, and I'll just be honest with you, I find sometimes my flesh, when I'm down, my flesh doesn't want music. Are any of you like that? You wouldn't admit it, even if you are, right? But sometimes our flesh doesn't want music. Whenever your flesh says no to what God would have you to do as a remedy, make yourself do it anyway. And you will see the remedy come through. It's just like a doctor's prescription. You ever had a doctor prescribe you something, or you didn't think it would be good, or you're thinking, Leave me alone. I don't want to take this. But suddenly you begin that remedy, and you know what? You find, wow, that doctor might be right after all. He might know something. Some don't know anything. But there's some that do know something. And it's an amazing. And you know, spiritually speaking, there are remedies in Scripture. You know, we just got to go to the remedy. We just got to go to the remedy. Let's stick with that remedy. Music is one remedy for sorrows in life. Now, God uses music in the lives of God people to deliver us from these places of sorrow in our life. Now, let's look at Psalms. Let's back up here for a minute and notice the Psalms. Once again, the Psalms are divided into five books, these 150 chapters, and they're divided up that way. We see, again, they're not divided by author. They're not divided by the events in which they occur. And they're not in chronological order. So sometimes one psalm of Asaph written could be a psalm that was written by a descendant of Asaph many years later, depending upon the context. Or it could have been written by David's chief musician, Asaph, depending on the context. So it's not in chronological order, and it's not even in order of importance as far as what God sees in importance. But they do seem to be arranged in an order of correspondence, which correspond to many of the books of the Old Testament, which, of course, book one would be Psalm 1 through 41, which would correlate with Genesis. Book 2, chapters 42 through 72, correlate with Exodus. And here we are in book 3, which correlates to the book of Leviticus. And we'll see how some of that comes through in just a minute. Now let's take a look at the psalm this morning and let's see what we can see here. First of all, we see that the trumpet had a message. The trumpet had a message. Verse 1, sing aloud unto the Lord our God, unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet. I like that. I have a sense of humor. I can just see somebody blowing into this trumpet and boom, they blew up the trumpet. Amen? And so I can see that happening. That's not what he means, all right? What he means is they're blowing the trumpet very strongly and loudly. Now, they didn't have trumpets like we have today. They had ram's horns. They call it the shofar. They would blow into those very loudly. Those would create sound. And these trumpets were for the purpose of calling the people together to worship the Lord. They would blow them in accordance to feast. It was a feast time. Feasts would occur. And so they would blow these to gather the people for worship. These trumpets would blow, and the way that they would blow them would often determine the purpose of what's going on. There's a verse in the Old Testament that talks about blowing the trumpet in an uncertain sound. And if that sound were not the correct sound, then they would not know what to do or the purpose by which they were to gather at the temple. And so when these ram's horns were blown, it would call them to come to the house of God. By the way, God's still blowing the ram's horn. God's still blowing the ram's horn. He's still calling people to gather together in God's house. Amen? I thank God you're here, but you know, there's a lot of people today, they're out in some sports stadium on God's day. They're not worshiping God, and they're not hearing the sound of that trumpet calling them to gather. And I think that's one reason why when the rapture occurs, God's going to blow a trumpet, because it's time to gather us together. And he's going to gather them, people from the four winds of the earth. I've been thinking about that Brazilian scripture project. I can't get it off my brain. Amen. I can't. You ask my wife, once it gets stuck, it's stuck. Amen. And I can't wait to do that, see some people get saved. There'll be people get saved we don't even know. But I can't wait to give them the gospel, see them get saved. When that rapture occurs, that trumpet blows, God's going to gather those people from the four winds of the earth. And we're going to meet with the Lord, be with the Lord forever and ever. Man, that's going to be a great day. Wonderful day. Wonderful day. So the trumpet had a message. It was a message to gather. It was a message to meet. It was a message that God said, all right, hey, let's get together. Let's hear it. And I'm glad you heard the trumpet this morning. Amen. And what does it do? Well, it's coupled with music and singing, isn't it? Verses 1 and 2. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm. Bring hither the timbrel. Pleasant harp with the psaltery. Bring the instruments. We're going to the house of God. We're going to sing. We're going to play some music. By the way, the Bible is our precedence for what we do today. We call it simply our authority for faith and practice that we do today. And why do we have instruments? We don't have the same instruments that they had back in Bible days. You know, we have electricity, and we have some different instruments. But the instruments are for the purpose of singing praise and honoring the Lord. And that's what they did. That was the precedent that we have today. And he says, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's talking about shouting unto the Lord, verse 1. Hey, a shout is good sometime. I don't know about you. Sometimes a preacher's preaching along, and man, he's preaching it hot and heavy, and man, he makes a great point from the Bible. And there's just something inside of me that says, amen. I can't resist it. I don't know if you're like that. And the ladies say, amen. Right? I would worry about a lady who said, amen. Yeah. Right? But she says, amen. Right? And I tell you, thank God. Thank God for it. But see, there should be an expression of the joy and the peace that God has given us in our heart. We shouldn't just keep quiet about it. Somebody needs to know. Somebody needs to know the joy of God in our life. Sing. My wife has a custom that she grew up with. On Sunday morning, they turn the record player on. How many of you have a record player? We have a record player. And she wants a record player. And I bought her a record player one year. And I said, honey, are we going backwards or are we going forwards? She said, I don't care. I want a record player. So she got a record player, and she'll play the records. And on Sunday morning, nothing but music. Music, music, Sunday morning. I think that's a good pattern to get into. Because music honors the Lord. It's a way of expressing our thanks to God. And it's a way of God returning strength to us as we serve Him. And singing aloud. Well, he comes to verse 3 here and he talks about this trumpet. There's a call to gather the people. Well, there was a new moon, or it signaled a new month, so to speak, in the blowing of the trumpet, which signaled the feast of the trumpets in Leviticus 23 and verse 24. The feast of the trumpets was this time when it had signaled that God had delivered them from Egypt. And they were to come together to remember this. They were to come together to remember. Well, I'll tell you what, it is so important in our Christian life that we take time to remember some of the things that God has done for us. It is so important. Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget those times when you've knelt at the altar and God's worked in your life and changed your life. Don't forget the day you got saved. Don't forget what God took you from. Amen? And remembrance is a way of pushing away sorrows and the brooding of the sorrow and the holding on to sorrow. Man, if you compare your sorrows on one side to all that God has done on the other side, what God has done will far outweigh all of the difficulties. Amen? Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. I think it's a good exercise. Preacher challenged me years ago to write your blessings on one side of a sheet of paper and write your difficulties on the other sheet of paper, on the other side of the sheet of paper, and compare the two. He said, you know what? You'd be surprised at how your blessings will outweigh your troubles. Amen? And I think as Christians, we ought to walk in that spirit. So God said, all right, and he commanded the Feast of Trumpets. Notice what he says here in verse 4. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. They didn't have a choice about this Feast of Trumpets. They had to follow that if they were going to obey the Lord. And so they would blow these horns. They would come together and gather and worship, be reminded of what God had brought them from. And the rest of the chapter is a reminder of what a lot of the things that God had brought them from. And it emphasized the need for them to remember God. Well, he shows us some things that God had done for them. In the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Now, hold your finger there in Psalms and let's go to Genesis chapter 42. Go to Genesis chapter 42 with me. And let's look at verse number 23. Genesis 42 and verse 23. And notice what it says. Oh, I got the wrong scripture. I apologize. My bad. Some of you can look that up, find the right one. That's your homework this week, all right? But suffice it to say is God had brought them out of the land of Egypt. God had brought them through Pharaoh's hand, through all the plagues. And this is what they were supposed to remember. They remember that they had been eased from their burdens. God gave them ease from their burdens. Look at verse 6. Go back to Psalm 81 and look at verse 6. And God reports here what he does for their burdens. And he says, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. So God's reminding them of what he's done. God's saying, this is what I did for you. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. I think we need to be more overwhelmed with what God has done than we do focus on what God has not done. Amen? Now, it's not wrong to pray and ask God for things. We should. But God is saying, you know what? Don't forget what I've done for you. You know, one of the keys to prayer when the disciples taught, when they asked Jesus to teach him to pray, teach us to pray, Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's saying, when you start praying, remember the God to whom you're praying. Remember that he is God. He's,
He's a great God. Remember who he is and what he's done before you ask him for your need. Because there's something about acknowledging God and who he is and what he does that seems to open up his heart. You know, I love it when my kids come to me and they open up their heart to me. I like that. Parents like that when a child comes to them and opens up their heart. And you know what it does? It helps us want to open our hearts to our children. Amen? My girls, man, I'm a sucker for a tender-hearted daughter. Amen? She wants a new dress. Man, she knows how to get one from me. You know? I'm a softy. I was telling them the other day, my kids, my grandkids, the little kids, I'm a softy for the little kids. Amen? And a little kid comes up to me, wants something, I'll usually give it to him. Amen? Can I have your car keys? No, you can't have those. Amen? But, you know, I think God's that way. God likes us to come to him as his children and open our hearts up to him, recognizing what he has done in our life. One of the best things you can ever do is just thank God for your salvation every day. Thank God every day. But God told them and reminded them, I've eased your burden. You prayed for deliverance and I gave you deliverance. I proved you at the waters of Meribah. I freed your hands from the pots and your shoulders from the burden. And he's saying, now because of that, hearken unto me. And he's saying this in the sense that if you hearken unto me, I'll be good to you. If you hear me, I will be good to you. You know, there's something inside of us that we think we can do everything on our own. And we lack some dependence on God. God wants us to depend on him. Amen. Dependence upon God demonstrates our faith in him. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God is saying to us, we need to have some faith in him. We need to put our dependence on God. Not all of life's issues are going to be easy and solved. We just got to go to God because he desires. He wants to be good to us. He wants to bless us. Thank God for that. Amen. And he reiterates that in the passage. But there are some conditions to it. Notice verse 9. There shall no strange God be in thee, and neither shalt thou worship any strange God. Now, you know, God says, all right, I want to bless you, but if you've got a strange God, why don't you go to him for your blessings? Why don't you see what that God will do for you? And God wants to be God alone in our life. He doesn't want to be there along with all the other gods. He wants priority. He is a jealous God in a right spiritual sense. He's a jealous God. And he gets jealous when we put other things before him. And so God's always trying to teach us, put him first in our life. Put him first in our life. If we won't put him first in our life, how can he bless us? How can he? So it's a reminder here. And he said, verse 10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Boy, what a promise. What a promise. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Well, that's a promise God still gives us today. God wants us to open our mouths wide and trust God because he'll fill our mouths. Amen. You know, there's something about us that in human nature says, I'll fill my own mouth. I'll take care of myself. God said, don't live that way. I saved you. You're my children. I want to feed you. I want to take care of you. But he said, don't have any other strange God in your life. And it's always a test, and examine our own life to see what other things are in our life that replace God and putting our faith and trust in Him. What are those things? Can we examine our own hearts and say, Lord, this is something that I'm putting before you. God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God said, clear out all them other gods. Clear out all them other things. Let me be number one in your life. And God says, hey, you know why? Because you just open your mouth wide to me, I'll fill it. God is a good God. But he will not bless us when there are other gods in our life. We must have God's power. We must have God fully in our life. God said, if you do, I'll fill it. Open wide your mouth. Well, what did they do? They resisted his goodness. Notice verse 11. But my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. You know, why would they not listen to God? God had already demonstrated that he could send the plagues. God had already determined that he's already shown them that he could free them from Pharaoh, that they could cross through the Red Sea. He'd part the Red Sea for them. But why is it? Why is it that they wouldn't hearken to his voice when they had already seen what he had done? Well, Scripture shows some things. First of all, according to verse 12, is that Egypt was in them. Verse 12, notice, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. You know, you can live in Egypt. We all live in Egypt, but Egypt does not have to live in you. Amen. We are of this world. We are in this world. Let me say this right. We are in this world, but we do not have to be of this world. Man, I don't want to be of this world. I want God and his goodness manifested in my life. And this is what caused them not to have that. You remember, some of them brought their false gods and their false idols from Egypt. Well, was it those false gods that sent the plagues? Was it those false gods that freed them from Pharaoh's hand? Was it the false gods that parted the Red Sea? No, it wasn't. It was God that did these things for them. But you know, when Egypt gets in you, you have a way of forgetting about God. Amen. Don't put your eyes on the world. Don't put your heart on this world. This world will disappoint us every time. The world passeth away, the Bible tells us, but God's words will never pass away. Egypt was in them, and God shows them their regret, and his regret, verse 13. Verse 13, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. So God is expressing his regret that they did not, because he had all these good things in store. He had all these good things in store. It's like, it's like you had something ready for somebody, and they came to you, and they turned away from you. Guess what? They missed out. They missed out on those things. I wonder how many things we missed out on from God's hand. You ever wonder that? You ever wonder how many things we've missed out on from God's hand? God doesn't want us to miss out. He said, and you can feel the heart of God here when he says, oh, that my people had hearkened to me and Israel walked in my ways. Verse 14, I should soon have subdued their enemies. God said, I'll take care of your enemies real quick and turn my hand against their adversaries. God says, I'm your protection. I'm your protection. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. And what they're saying is that God has great blessings in store for them. Take your Bible and go with me over to Deuteronomy 2. Deuteronomy 2, let's see if I got this reference right. Deuteronomy 2, look at verse number 7. Deuteronomy 2, look at verse number 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. Thou hast lacked nothing. See, we see the good hand of God, don't we? We see the good hand of God. I'll tell you what, serving God brings these blessings that you can't compare, that God just pours out. God pours out. Years ago, I'll never forget, I was pastoring in Texas, and man, we were out of food. I mean, we were done. There was more month at the end of the money. I mean, we were out of food. And when you're a preacher and you're out of food, that's a bad situation. Amen. But we're out of food, and I'll never forget, a dear fellow drove in the driveway in his big truck. And Toby was his name. Toby pulled in. He said, "You know what? Lord told me to come by and give you this." I didn't say anything to him. Nobody said anything to him. Lord told me to come by. He gave me three $100 bills. I said, "Hallelujah. Praise God. God met the need." You know, God delights to do these things. If you love God and you're just trying to serve God, it doesn't mean you're perfect, but it does mean that God's blessings are going to take care of you. Amen. I've told this story before, but there's a time when our kids were young and we lived out in the country and about 7 miles out from the church, and my wife, she called me. It was a Wednesday night and I was at church. I'd been at church already, and she said, "Honey, we have, the gas is on E. You know, when it's below the little E line, you start really worrying, you know." And this was below the line. She said, "Honey, we might have enough gas to get to church, but I'll promise you we don't have enough to get home. What do I do?" I said, "Come to church." And the whole time she's coming, I'm praying, "Lord, help her to get here." She got there. Amen. And had the church service. And as soon as the service was over, that thought hit my mind. How am I getting home tonight with six kids? Are we going to walk 7 miles in the dirt, in the darkness? I thought, "Lord, how are we going to do this?" Dear little old lady in the church, Mrs. Roebuck, walked up to us with the strangest look in her face. She said, "I don't know why I'm supposed to do this, but God told me to give you this." And she put a $10 bill in my hand. Hallelujah, I'm getting home tonight. Amen. You know, I'll tell you something. Serving God, we don't do it for the reward. We do it because we love God. But God returns his blessings to us when we love him and serve him, because he knows our heart. And he knows what we're trying to do. And this is our God. This is the kind of God we serve. And the children of Israel here, he tells them, they lacked nothing. They lacked nothing. Look at Leviticus 5. Leviticus 5, and this is the book of the Bible that correlates with the Psalms we're reading. Leviticus, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Leviticus chapter number 5. Notice verse 3 and through 6. Leviticus 5, verse number 3. I think I got the wrong scripture again. I got the wrong scripture again. I apologize. Did I get it again? Yeah, I missed the chapter right there. I'll have to look it up. You got more homework this week, folks. You got more homework this week. Let's go to Proverbs 28. I know that one's right. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, look at verse number 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. God is comparing the mentality of people here by saying, you have a choice to be faithful, or you can have this mindset to get rich quick, hurry. I want, or be faithful. Can I tell you what? God's His faithfulness wins out. Faithful man is the one that abounds with blessings, because that's the mindset that God blesses. Amen. God said, just be faithful. Just be faithful and He'll bless. Well, let's go back to Psalm 81. Let's look at the last verse. We see in God is satisfaction. Psalm 81, verse 16. He should have fed them with the finest of the wheat. Notice the quality of what God does. The finest of the wheat. He doesn't give you the bottom of the barrel. He gives us the best. The finest of the wheat. And with the honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. But notice God says they missed out on that. They missed out on that. Boy, I don't want to miss out on the finest of the wheat, what God has. And the key is to just remain faithful to God. In His time, in His way, He will bless the faithful man. It's in His word. Amen? It's in His word. So God just says to us, just keep faithful. And by the way, that should give us joy to live in every day. To just be faithful. Amen. You know, sin brings discouragement. It brings defeat. Sin brings depression. A person who's in sin, they're not happy. And when a Christian doesn't get victory, they're just not at peace. They're not happy in their life. And so God says, all right, live differently. Live with faithfulness. Live with faithfulness. And watch what God will do. Amen. What a passage of Scripture. Great passage of Scripture. Thank the Lord for His goodness. Well, we're going to end there today. And we'll pick up, Lord willing, chapter 82 next week. See what God has for us. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for Your word this morning and for the privilege to teach it. And Lord, I pray You just bless it. Use the truths. Lord, in our hearts and our lives, we pray. Bless the upcoming church hour for Your glory and honor. In Jesus' name.